Say with me these words. Say witchcraft. I wanna, you know, I found it necessary to teach on this subject simply because of what is going on in the church, what is going on in families. Today we're going to focus more on witchcraft in the family. I'm not speaking about a sangoma or a witch or a muti or binding something around my body. I'm not touching on that. That is a different area of witchcraft. Are you guys with me? There are two sides. They say evil satanic force, and then there's also a work of the flesh. That is witchcraft. Put me Galatians 5 verse 19 on. I want to show you something. Galatians 5 verse 19. I think it is there. And as I said, the second service always gets more. Listen to this. Now the works of the flesh, so with the flesh, are evident, which is adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Next verse. Idolatry. Say with me, sorcery. In the scripture, the word witchcraft is used in three terms, but it's intertwined depending on what translation you use. It's either witchcraft or sorcery or divination. Now, right here it says idolatry and sorcery, which means this word witchcraft is a work of the flesh also. It's a sin of the flesh. As much as it is an evil spirit, it's a work of the flesh as well. And because it's a work of the flesh, it is rampant in the church. Are you guys with me? It is rampant in families, and we don't even know it. When this spirit enters in, it has certain roots and legs that it messes up one partner to another partner, a married couple. It messes up between children and parents to children. Children manipulating their parents. Parents losing their authority. And the children taking their parents' authority, becoming an illegitimate authority. My mouth is so dry, I take vitamin stuff. I must just learn not to do it on a Sunday. Let me say it like this. Witchcraft, the definition of witchcraft is this. Getting somebody to do something that they don't want to do, but doing it for me. That's the definition of witchcraft. Are you guys with me? Go with me to Galatians 3 verse 1. And we'll get into the whole family thing now. I'm just laying a little bit of a foundation for witchcraft and what it is. Witchcraft is getting somebody to do something against their will, if I can say it like that, then for my benefit. Witchcraft. So with you, witchcraft. Paul is saying to the Galatians church, now you must understand, when he came to the Galatians church here, he already has been in communication with them before, and this church used to be full of the power of God. The gifts of the Holy Ghost used to operate in this church. They would cast out devils, heal the sick. They would do signs, wonders, and miracles, prophesy. There was the supernatural. Are you guys understanding what I'm saying? There's power that is in Galatians church. But now when Paul gets to the church, he realizes, but wait, something is happening here. All of a sudden now when I lay hands, there's no power. All of a sudden there's no healing taking place. Prophecy, I'm battling to prophesy. I'm speaking illustratively. Are you guys with me? But this is what the picture is in reality here, what has happened. So Paul said, listen here, something happened here at Galatians church. Why is the power of God not here? He says, oh foolish Galatians. He says, you are fools, number one. Imagine, Pastor Leon stands here and he, you foolish encounterers. Okay. Oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Say with me, bewitched. He said, who has done witchcraft in your midst that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? He said, listen here, somebody performed witchcraft and it caused you to go back into the law out of grace. Are you guys with me? Now, it says, you're reading your Bible because you have to. You're praying because you have to. If I read my Bible because I have to, I'm in law and religion. If I read my Bible because there's a hunger pulling me, because I want to, it is now grace and relationship. Grace is something that comes upon a person. It's a measure. It is not a license to sin. It is when grace comes on you, that means that you are being drawn towards God. You would sit at night and feel, oh, I just want to go and pray. There's something in me that is pulling me to go pray. But if I sit and say, I need to pray, I need to pray, because I'm trying to get God's approval secretly in my heart because of rejection or whatever, I'm in the law, under the law. I'm trying to win His approval, something that He's already done. We are approved and accepted. Are you guys with me? Adopted into a heavenly family. Okay, so you'll see how this gets into the family. Now, witchcraft in the church is prevalent, but we'll do it next week is Mother's Day, the week thereafter. And I'll show you what happens when a pastor operates in witchcraft, and then you can see, are we a cult or not? Like many of your friends are saying, there are signs to that. And I was blamed and accused, obviously, on Facebook. And drastically, that some people in our church were affected. So God said to me, do this thing this month so that people understand how subtle witchcraft can come into a family. Number one, this Sunday. And then number two, how it can enter and subtle enter into a church. And what is a cult? What's the signs of it? And it's going to be very powerful. And because some pastors are like puppets and they're being controlled. But there's witchcraft in both ways, from the pastor to the people and from the people to him. Okay? And so we kind of like went viral on Facebook, and then they apologized. So that was nice. So, and everyone's like, now where's this? People say, now where's this prophet's apology? I'm like, what apology? It's amazing that the Bible says, do not touch my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. I said to God, I went on my knees and I prayed for them that attacked me. A minister, huh? Big minister. Attack me. I said, I demand an apology and an apology game. So, all I'm saying, when God is for you, He backs you up. That doesn't remove my love for these people. I love them. I get on my knees and I mention them by names, praying for them. Are you guys with me, or are you being bewitched? Okay. So, I love them. I really love them. Some of them were my close friends. But I pray for them. You'll never see me standing on this pulpit speaking against another man's vision. Because that's the day that God leaves me. So, Galatians 3 verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? The word bewitched, Paul was saying, listen here, because the word bewitched has three meanings. Number one, it means to flatter. Say with me, flatter. Now, these are not the three things I want you to remember, but you can write down. It means to flatter. To flatter means, and I use this as an example. Let's say Chris did the announcements, and I come to Chris and I say, I'm an elderly lady coming in the church, and I come to Chris and I say, Chris, you were so anointed today. I mean, when you took that mic, Pastor Leon doesn't even have to be here, man. You know, you have gifts, and I don't think you understand the gifts that you have. Just want to tell you, you're the most anointed person. It happens to me after every service. And then, the devil, if he doesn't know this truth, the devil can come to him. Yeah, but I am more anointed than Leon. Yes, I have an influence. He's been bewitched by flattery. Flattery. The Bible says the one who flatters you has murder intent in their heart for you. When someone flatters me, I know they hate me. Flattery is them trying to convince themselves that they like you. Are you guys with me? When Peter said, oh Lord, I will never betray you. I will go with you to the cross, to the end. He was trying to convince himself of the betrayal you already felt in his heart. When people say to me, I'll be with you till the end, I know something's going to happen. Why are they telling me? Okay, I'm going too deep. Are you guys with me? Say flattery. Number two, it means to have an evil eye, to cast an evil eye. So a new believer or somebody that's saved 2 months or 3 months, they're on fire. They're serving everywhere. Maybe they're leading. Maybe they're already cell groups. They're on fire. They're being used by God. And then we sit and there's some people that has been with the church from the beginning and they sit and they look at the person like this with the evil eye. And that person sees it and they feel judged. And that evil eye causes intimidation, which is witchcraft. Pastors looking at the congregation and the congregation control him by the evil eye. It's like, don't you dare preach that which you have said we shall preach. Or as the church model, you know, when they have board members controlling the pastor, they sit with their eye there, the elders. Sitting there, don't you dare say that, witchcraft. And then Jezebel and all those other things that comes in will leave till later on. Then the third meaning. So to cast an evil eye, it's not the Pentecostal look, it's an evil judgmental look. And when I see somebody casting an evil eye with me when I preach, then I wonder, who has talked into the ear? To whom have they opened their ears? That's the biggest destruction for Christians. So when we open our ears to nonsense about our church, or maybe me as your pastor, or anybody else, or anything, or Christianity, anything. But it's a seed that is sown. If our hearts are not mature, that offense is taken. And then the evil eye comes out. That's why Jesus said, your eye is, when your eye is single and light, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is dark, your whole body is full of darkness. And how great is the darkness? Now there's many interpretations, but I like to do it physically. When I do deliverance on myself, or especially when I was younger, and I'd go through deliverance or do deliverance on myself like we have F1 year, I run to the mirror and I go look in my eyes and see if I have light. Anyway, okay, you're supposed to know these things. Okay, that's a reality. We take people into deliverance, they come out, they're full of light. You can see in somebody's eyes if God is there or not. Are you guys with me? They can hide him in every other area. They might not even want to preach, but he'll come out through their eyes. Okay, say with you, bewitched. The third meaning is to cast a spell. So that is even people that are doing it through their prayers, number one. Or number two, through gossip. Gossip is what I call casting a spell. When I sit and I hear something about someone else's character and I gossip about them to somebody, and then from to somebody and somebody, let's say now it goes to the fifth person, and it was originally against Tian. The fifth person doesn't know Tian, and he's on his way to meet Tian, and he has already judged him before he's met him because he opened up his ear to gossip. He already judged him, made up his mind that he will not like him. Are you guys with me? So sin never kills people. Not in a church. Jesus died for sin. I'm not giving us license to sin. But I've seen people commit the worst sin. They come into my office. I pray for them. From adultery to fornication to a lot of things. I help them. I walk a road with them. I pray for them. When I pray for them, they walk out. They come the next day. They're full of light. It's like they've never sinned. Gossip. So sin can kill you, but gossip kills others. Are you guys with me? So in this church, I'm really against that thing. I hate gossiping. The Bible says God hates it as well. So say with me, witchcraft. We'll get into the family thing now. I hope that it's not boring for you. Go with me to 1 Samuel 15 verse 23. What is witchcraft? We're going to get into now into the family. I'm going to show you how these things work. Listen, this is a story. Before we get to this verse, you can keep this verse up. But Saul was given a command, instruction by God, to go and kill and utterly take out the Amalekites. To utterly destroy it and not leave one thing or take one thing. What Saul did is he went and destroyed them, but he took the best for him, the best spoils, the best livestock. He even spared an Amalekite, and it was the Amalekite he spared that killed his life at the end of his life. When God says that in this area, I want you to destroy everything, in this area of pornography that you're battling with, I want you to destroy everything, break your computer. Jesus said it's better to pluck out your eye than to have and than to go with two eyes into hell. Are you guys with me? It's better to cut off your hand than to go into hell with two hands. What is he speaking? He says there's a realm where you cut off the things that destroys you. So Saul took of the best. He violated God's instruction. He did what he did, but on his own terms. Like, yes, God, I'll do what you do, but I'll do it my way. Are you guys with me? So then Samuel said to me, he said, listen, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Say with me, rebellion equals witchcraft. And he says, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Say with me, stubbornness equals idolatry. There's a reason he spoke this to Saul. He said, listen, Saul, you listened to God's instruction, but you partially obeyed him. So partial obedience is total disobedience. Delayed obedience is total disobedience. Are you guys with me? So he said, listen, you have rebelled against the instruction that God has given you. What is rebelling? I'm telling my kids, listen, go wash the dishes. And they go and play, and then they wash the dishes later tonight. They rebelled. Now Saul is saying, listen here, you rebel. Samuel is saying to Saul, you rebelled. But this rebellion equals witchcraft. So even when your children rebels, it's a form of witchcraft. I'm not saying they're throwing bones or writing pentagrams. It's a form of the work of the flesh of witchcraft. Do you understand me? If you don't, we have a problem. Okay? Do you guys understand me? Then kids begins to manipulate the parents and take their authority. And you'll see how we'll demonstrate all these things with a video that'll just come now. Little clips. Listen. He says, your sin, your rebellion equals witchcraft. You might as well just go and be a witch. And when we get into what is rebellion, so many ushers, so many people, so many leaders rebel. That thing in the church is rampant. We say do this, they do that. So, and then he says, your stubbornness is like idolatry. The word stubborn means, the definition of stubbornness is when you say, I will do what you say, but I'll do it my way. The meaning of witchcraft is, I will make you do something that you don't want to do for my benefit. Stubbornness is somebody saying, I'll do what you say, God, or this person or that one. I'll do what you say, but I'll do it my way. But there was a song sang by somebody like that's, huh? Elvis. No, Frank Sinatra, not Elvis. I'll do it my way, eh? Yeah. I'll do it my way. Stubbornness. God is saying, hey, Saul, when you are stubborn, you might as well bow down before a golden calf and worship him. Are you guys? He says, it's exactly the same. You can sit at home as a husband, I'm stubborn. I will not go to church. I will not do that. I'm stubborn. I'll do it my way. You can worship before a cow. You can write a pentagram and worship the devil, and it's the same in God's eyes. So there's stubbornness. I'll do it in my way. So many churches are stubborn. They refuse to change. They say, no, we'll have pews, or we will preach this, even if it's a wrong doctrine. And they're killing people. When I preach the word and the letter only from this pulpit here, without revelation, you will die. When a church has no revelation, no presence, the word is being taught, but there's no presence, no revelation. The people are, it doesn't mean that it's just a boring church. It actually means death is coming to those people. The letter kills, say with me, kills, but the Spirit gives life. That's what Paul said to the Corinthian church. So it is crucial, and you'll see, and many of you will experience, especially in the evenings, how we preach revelation. Revelation is an opening of the eyes. It is something you realize the curtain has been taken, pulled open, and you're like, I have never seen it in the scripture like that. Something in me is jumping. My spirit is coming alive. It's revelation. I mean, when was that? It was another night. We're preaching 5 hours or something. The service finished 5 hours. And not tonight. We'll do it short, okay? And we're doing it like 5 hours, and everybody stays. Everyone. And we're packed. And I said to my people, because I'm preaching and I'm seeing 7:30. And I'm thinking in my mind, for traveling and preaching all the time, but the service only started at 7. What's going on? 7:30? No, yes, I'm still preach a lot. So I go on. In the meantime, the service started at 5:00. So we finished by 10. No, but what I'm saying is, there's few churches where revelation can be preached and people are focused and they have the capacity to receive it. I can take this message, go to another church that have thousands, and preach it, and the people here, they're unable, their spirit doesn't have the capacity to receive it. Okay, so that's what revelation stretches your spirit, causes an opening of the eyes. ECC is not a church. It is a revelation that God has revealed to me. An apocalypse, opening of the eyes. When you walk in this place, my prayer is that the prophetic and revelation will open you to new things. That you read a scripture and say, I've never seen it like this before. You go back home, you're like, I look at people not the same. All of a sudden, I can see this or I can see that about them. You sit in another church, you're like, this isn't home, something's wrong. I'm not getting in. Say with you, revelation. Revelation is crucial. I've said, God cannot even be known without revelation. He cannot be studied, and you cannot read about Him in any book. He has to decide to open up and bring revelation to you about Him. He has to decide. Are you guys with me? He says, no one comes to the Father, come to me, except I draw him. So, say with me, witchcraft. These are the three things I want you to write down. There are three legs in witchcraft. We're going to get into family and then we'll close, okay? Three legs in witchcraft. There's what we call manipulation, then domination, and number three, intimidation. So number one, manipulation. Number two, domination. And number three, intimidation. Where you see those three things or one of them operating in your business, in your church, in your family, and I'll explain to you now how every one of them works, then you'll be able to see, and we'll show you a video, you'll be able to identify. When those things pop out somewhere, even in a church, even here, it means witchcraft is not far behind that church. I've seen pastors where the congregation members are too scared to phone them. Or not even their congregation members, I can still understand that. But their team, they will shake like this. And they get heart palpitations just because they see their pastor's name phoning them. Now there's a measure of the anointing that can do it. Okay? But then you have to have the anointing. The people I'm speaking about could have never even cast the devil out in their lives. and they would shake. And I would work with these people when people coming out of cults. And we're busy with some that's coming out there, Christian cults. They cannot even talk to you because they're full of fear. They have been in witchcraft. And there has been churches that has done it. They manipulate you for money. Are you guys with me? So those three things, that's the three legs, if I may say it like that, of witchcraft. You know, I want to get into the family and I want to show you how manipulation, domination, intimidation, what it is and how it works in a family. Are you guys with me? Let's go to number one. Say with me, manipulation. And these things subtly destroy marriages. We had marriage seminars the second year this year. And we'll see it. We'll see sometimes husband and wives can't even sit next to one another. And it's because it comes in with a subtle seed. And it actually starts from childhood. Because a child that manipulates becomes an adult that manipulates. Like the first video you saw with Cherie that screamed at her parents. That is not her fault. That is the parents' fault. If a family like that would come to me for counseling, I would not even consider, even look at the child first. I'll have to do counseling on the parents. Otherwise, if they don't do anything and they fall for that manipulation, they will allow that child to grow up and even spirit-filled and become a master manipulator when they're older. Manipulating their husbands for sex and this and that and using it as a tool and as a weapon. And they use fear and punishment as a weapon. Are you guys with me? So manipulation. What is manipulation? It means I'll trick you to do something that I want. I'll trick you into doing things my way. Manipulation. Manipulation is covert in nature. It's camouflaged. Are you guys with me? Covert in nature. You know, go with me. I want to show you, and we don't have much time, so I don't want to take too much time. Three legs of witchcraft: manipulation, domination, and intimidation. That was manipulation. I wanted to just show that video to show one example. Let's go to domination. Say with me, domination. Domination is where manipulation is covert in nature, undercover, camouflaged. Domination is overt. So it is open, forceful, and it is there to attack. Manipulation says, I'll trick you into what I want you to do for me and doing things my way. Domination says, I'll make you do things my way. Are you guys with me? Manipulation is the first step. Then domination is the second one. Then, you know, domination says, I'll make you to do things my way. And I can get into Jezebel, and for time's sake, I don't want to. We're going to do when we do the second one, and not this Sunday coming, the Sunday after that, we're going to be doing touching on the church, and you'll see how Jezebel is not a woman with red lipsticks, but it can be a guy in a nice suit sitting on the front row. It can be an organ. It can be an intercessor. Okay, so look. Sadly enough, parents dominate their children. They dominate their wives, husbands, and what happens is the person they are dominating begins to take their identity, and form and shaped into that identity, and they just begin to be a robot, just doing everything that person wants. Domination is a sense of control. So it's. Kids begin to manipulate parents. I want to do this. The parents submit to that manipulation. Now, witchcraft goes over the parents. Illegitimate authority over God's authority. Now they begin to dominate. I'll make you do it. Kids do it to parents. Because parents don't know how to govern their kids. Some parents, their kids govern them. Are you guys with me? So, say with me, dominion. Now let's go to the last point. I don't want to be too long, so tonight is going to be awesome. Listen, say with me, intimidation. Intimidation is one step further to domination. So you have manipulation, I'll trick you to do what I want. Domination, I'll make you to do what you want, that I want. Intimidation is I'll scare you into doing things my way. When I say scare you, even the occult comes, and I've even tried by our church numerous times, right from the first building, and we see them from far away. They come and they try to get to kids, and they will give your kids one stare and intimidate them. And that kid has been traumatized right there. And 6 years later, they can use him. Are you guys with me? That is why when I walk sometimes and I walk like this in the crowd, I know people, I know certain people, and I do it on purpose, because churches has been taken out by this thing. I said to one church where they all tried to kill me with knives, I said, there's this one in your kids' church that's doing this. I said, before you see it, your church has burned down. Vrachtig. 2 years later, church burns down. Are you guys with me? But they intimidate your kids. That's how the occult works now. They will do something and then punish you by fear, or fear of punishment, saying that if you do this, we're going to release these photos or this or that. But parents intimidate the kids. Are you guys with me? Parents, partners intimidate one another. Intimidation says, I'll scare you into doing things my way. Manipulation, domination, intimidation. And I've given you today an example of how it can get into the family. Every divorce we deal with is because of that. Every family problems is because of that. And you would see how the husband talks to the wife, how the wife talks to the husband. That is it. If we can get this thing right, to understand God never operates by this. This is what we call the devil's modus operandi. God governs by love, rules by love, not by fear. Are you guys with me? The day that I begin to operate in manipulation, intimidation, and domination is the day I will resign. I'm speaking differently with the anointing. The anointing can make people scared, but that's the anointing. But the day Chris has to come to me to ask me permission if he can go on holiday is the day that I'll quit ministry. You guys are very silent. I don't know if you are okay. Say with me, say manipulation, domination, intimidation. Now with the knowledge, the Bible says my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. With this knowledge, you can now know when something like this happens, you can pray and you can know how to dodge it, how to work it out, and how to rule your family and your kids through love. Are you guys with me? Remember, intimidation is scaring somebody into doing some things that you want. Witchcraft is doing anything to make somebody do what you want. It's rampant even in the church. And by the second part, we will carry on to see that you can see what is there these signs in this church? And if there is, you can gladly leave. I'm serious. This thing I am so against. I work with our people. Gossip, I say people can sin. Not giving them a license. But some preachers will stand on a pulpit and think that everybody is holy. They think that their band is holy. And then I know that one is on cocaine. That one slept with so many girls. That one was there last night. Sin God has dealt with. And I can pray for somebody very easily with sin. Gossiping is witchcraft. Manipulation, intimidation, domination. These are the things that destroys the body and kills you. With these things, I have no mercy. Are you guys with me? There's been times when me and Chris, somebody would come into the church to do harm. And then we take them to the back room. And we do something. No, I'm just kidding. No, we do something. We do something. We intimidate the enemy back. But I speak as a shepherd. I'm not speaking as a prophet, as a shepherd. My first priority is to protect you. So we scare the hell out of that guy. And he'll either repent and cry and change, or he runs if his motives was false. Because they'll destroy the church. And we are one after the other after the other. Are you guys with me? So that's the tough work of a pastor. That's what they will not tell you. If you walk in these steps, you are hated and cursed every day. Anyway, how many of you say to you, I want to be free in my family, in everything, from these legs? Let's stand to our feet.